with studying the subject of marriage and divorce and things relating to this truth. I want to read from two passages of Scripture simply to give us something to start with, because I'm not going to go into the details. I'm still giving you general teaching concerning this subject, but remember what I'm telling you, because when we go into detail, you will have it the second time, and then, God willing, when we look at portions in the New Testament, we will understand the relationship between the Old and the New. So keep this in mind now. Exodus 21, verse 7. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as men servants do. If she please not her master who hath espoused her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a foreign people he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he espouse her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him, that is, if the father take him, his son, another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three things unto her, then shall she go out for nothing without money. In chapter 22, look at verse 16. And if a man entice a virgin that is not betrothed, and the word betrothed and the spouse means engaged, given to be married, but not as yet married, that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely pay a dowry for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgin. And now Deuteronomy 22. Verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and lay shameful things to her charge and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found not in her the tokens of virginity. And then the case is presented by the father or the man. And the outcome says this. Look at verse 18. And the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, that the tokens of virginity were not found in the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she hath wrought folly in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from the midst of thee. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away the evil from Israel. If there be a damsel, that is, a virgin, betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of the city, and shall stone them to death with stones. The damsel, because she cried not out, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away the evil from the midst of thee. But if the man find the damsel that is betrothed in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is nothing in the damsel worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is the matter. For he found her in the field, the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel, that is a virgin, that is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the solemn things that we have read from thy word, by thy Spirit, that can be explained and expressed as thou dost give utterance and prepare our hearts to receive them. We look to thee and pray thy blessing and preparation for all that's necessary to glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Sometimes when you read passages like this, there is a cry, why read such things? Because it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And it says, all scripture is profitable, and not only so, but the very reason that perhaps some sins are prevalent in the midst of Christians today is because they did not know that God had foreseen the secret desires of their hearts, and had told them about those secret desires and how they should be dealt with. And so you'll find that the whole of the law was read, all that was written in the days of Nehemiah. It said that Ezra stood up and he read it hour by hour and explained it. And for that reason, I say without apology, I'm going to tell you about these things. And as I've looked at these passages, primarily in the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, I found scores of references to things similar to what I've read you in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And this is what I found, that God clearly and without cover-up sets forth both man and woman in their true condition as lustful creatures. That's what you are. In your heart, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. That's why he put these things in his word. And what is so remarkable is this, that he tells about the wickedness in man, and he looks at all things after which he can lust, and there seems to be nothing of the lower as well as the higher creation that he does not lust after. And what God does is this, he enumerates them one after one. Here is a man that's single. He lusts after a single woman. Here is a man that is single. He lusts after an engaged woman. Here is a man that's single. He lusts after a married woman. And God spells them out one by one. He doesn't tell us simply that we shall not lust, but he says, you are prepared to lust after any flesh. And that is what is so unsettling and upsetting, is the fact that in our heart, as Paul says in Romans, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And if you know that, then you are prepared against that heart that is within your bosom, because you see what you're capable of. Peter thought that it was impossible for him to ever deny the Lord. He said, I will go to prison, I will die for you. The Lord knew what was in his heart, and God knows what's in your heart and what's in my heart. He knows the capability that is in our heart, and therefore he tells us about these things. And so I briefly tell you this, that man in the Old and in the New Testament lusts after almost anything that is forbidden, and God tells us about it. He enumerates those things that are sinful, and he forbids these things. I say the Old Testament and the New Testament, because if you read Romans chapter 1, what we find in the first five books of the Bible forbidden, you'll find man continuing to do those things, and they are brought as an indictment against him again in the New Testament. We are set forth as we are, and I say with shame, all of us. We are lustful creatures. And God says, you cannot have certain things. It says, marriage is honorable in all. And so God sets a man and a woman before one another. He says, marriage is honorable in all. But he says, whoremongers, and that's the word fornicators, and adulterers, God will judge. And I've read to you tonight about fornicators and adulterers. Now listen carefully. The Bible clearly distinguishes between them. When you have the word in the Hebrew describing adultery, it is the word na'af. And it's the equivalent in the New Testament to the word moi-hu-amai, and that's the word that's translated adultery. But the word that is translated fornication and harlot, that is the word zana, and that is translated, as I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 22, she hath played the harlot. Now keep this in mind. Whenever the Bible speaks of adultery, it speaks of a man going in unto another man's wife and committing illicit sex. When a man commits sex with a married woman, that is the word adultery. That is post-marital illicit sex. But when illicit sex is committed before a person is married, that is called fornication in the New Testament, and it is called in the Old Testament again and again to play the harlot in Israel, for a woman to prostitute herself. It's called to play the harlot in Israel. And God sets before us example after example of men and women who have done these things. And God says they shall not be tolerated. All right. I told you about man and his being a lustful creature, man and woman, because I looked to see if the weaker vessel was set aside in some sacred light, but I find that the same things are said of her as said of the man. And so there is no distinction. The heart of woman is sinful as the heart of man. God sets them both before. He tells us the capability in both. And then he tells us this, and it is so upsetting. It tells us the deceit in the heart of the man and of the woman. But as you read this deceit, you find that God has anticipated what is in the heart of the man and the woman, and especially I have to laugh at the way God deals with the man that tries to deceive the maiden. God is not going to let him get away with any of these things. Now, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and someday we will go into the five things that constitute scriptural marriage. But here is a man that for one reason or another is trying to take advantage of a woman without being prepared to marry the woman. And therefore, if he can have her body without marrying her, then he doesn't have to provide for her after they're married, and he doesn't have to pay the dowry. And so what he does, and it's described in a threefold way. It says if a man entice a maid, if a man force a woman, if a man lay hold on a woman. And so this is a man, you see. He looks and he says, well, I will entice this maid. And so he does. Well, when he does, and it's found out, then he thought he was going to entice the maid and not marry her, but God says, oh no. He has to go and he has to pay the prescribed dowry for that young woman. And not only so, he thought he was going to enjoy himself without having to pay. if the father says, you cannot have my daughter, then he has to pay the dowry anyway, and he goes empty handed and he doesn't get a wife. And so that's how God deals with the man there. But now, there is another who forces this woman. Understand, we're talking about maidens now. Those that are unmarried and those that are not engaged. This is the category we're talking about now. Here is another man, and he says that he is going to force this woman. He's going to lay hold on this woman. Well, when he is found out, it's even harder for him, because he is fined 100 shekels of silver. He has to marry this woman, and he may never get a divorce from her, and it serves him right. And so here he is, and he thought that he could take advantage of this woman, not have to pay the dowry. He could commit this sin with impunity, but God says he has to pay 100 shekels of silver. He didn't love the woman. It was just the lust of the flesh. He has to marry the woman, and he can't go through the ceremony, and the day after go and get a lawyer and say, I'm getting a divorce. God says he can never put her away. Now think just for a moment. Think if these laws were enforced today, how much premarital sex do you think we would have going on in comparison with what we do have? You say, well, if a man knew it was going to have to cost him, and he knew that if he went out with this girl and did something that was wrong, he was going to have to marry her, and he could never get away from marrying her. He couldn't divorce her, and nowadays he couldn't have another wife. Do you think there would be as much premarital sex? You say, absolutely not. A man would think before he did this, because one mistake would ruin his life. That's exactly right. And God knew. God knew how to deal with it, and it used to be this way. It used to be that when a man took advantage of a woman, they were compelled to get married. And the only thing that made them not get married was the consent of the father. If the father said, I'm not going to have my daughter married to this man, but if the father says, well, I think I'm going to turn this into something that is at least recoverable, we'll try to make it as respectable as possible, then he gets not only the dowry, he gets 100 shekels of silver, and he can never put that girl away. And so a man would think, and he would hesitate before he committed any sin. And so this is what I find. Yes, the heart of man is deceitful, but God anticipates the deceit, and God protects the woman. You remember that. There's so many who say, why, I don't care anything for the Bible. Why, it treads the woman down. Why, she's nothing but chattel. Nothing but chattel. Why, I've just told you about God caring for this woman. And that's why I read to you in Exodus 21. I want to interject this now. I'm talking about deceit, but I'm showing you this. More deceit. There are times in life, especially perhaps in Oriental countries, they still do this, that a man becomes poor, and the only thing he has left is his daughter. And so he sells his daughter into slavery to a man, and from the context, to marry this man. And so the man buys this young maiden, and he takes her, and he's supposed to marry her, but then he deals deceitfully with her. And he says, well, what I'm going to do is sell her again and get my money back. Absolutely not. It says that you can give her to your son. But if you want to get another wife for your son in addition to this one, you can't get rid of this woman. You have to provide for two wives instead of one, and you have to treat the first one that you didn't like, that you treated deceitfully, you have to treat her the same way that you treat the second one, and if you do not three things for her, you feed her and clothe her, and give her her duty of marriage, if you don't do these three things for her, then all that money you paid for is gone, and you let her go out free. You say that the woman is downtrodden, why, God is taking care of slaves. He is looking at this poor woman, how man could take advantage of her. And he says, this woman is not going to be taken advantage of. And that's what he does there. Now, I'll tell you what else is said in Deuteronomy 22. Keep this in mind. Because there are some scoundrels in the world, men, that will do anything. And here in Deuteronomy 22, and I want you to remember this because I will tell you again and again, it's so important. Here is a man, and he marries a woman, and she is a maiden, a true maiden. But he wants to divorce the woman. He wants to somehow get out of what he's done. And so the next morning he goes and he tells a lie against this woman. He said, I went in unto this woman and I found out that she wasn't a virgin. And her father comes to her defense. And then the tokens of her virginity are spread before the elders of the city. And it says that it's found out that this man has brought an evil name against a virgin in Israel. And that this man, again, it serves him right. It says they chastise the man and they find the man, and he has to marry that woman, stay married to her, and he may never divorce her. But this is what is so sad, and it's heartbreaking, that a man would do such things. But I've told you that man is deceitful, and his heart is wicked, and he's prepared to tell lies against a maiden that is innocent. But God says that woman is going to be protected. I thank God for that. And so you say, well, then these innocent women, oh no. Because it says that this man who went in unto this woman, thinking she was a virgin, finds out that she was not a virgin. And he presents his case to the elders of the city. And if she cannot prove her virginity, then it says that this woman is stoned to death. Because she has wrought folly. She has played the harlot in Israel. Now, that's her deceit, you see. In her past life, she has been indiscreet. And she says, nobody will ever know about it. I can get away with this. And so she has had premarital sex. And so, all goes well until the time comes when she wants to get married. And then, on the marriage night, it's discovered that she has been unfaithful, that she has no man before. And when this happens, the man that married her says, this woman deceived me. You say the man deceives, God anticipates the woman deceiving as well. And so just as the man is chastised and dealt with severely, so the woman is dealt with even more severely. And God says, this thing shall not be tolerated. And so you remember that a man could expect to have a woman that told the truth, that had led a life of purity in the past. And if, through some unfortunate circumstance, suppose she had been one who was forced or enticed, and yet her father would not allow her to marry the man that enticed her, then, before she got married again, she would have to say to this man that loved her and proposed to her, I want you to know of an unfortunate circumstance that occurred in my life. And then if the man were prepared to take her under those circumstances, then all was well. But if she said, I'm not going to tell him, I'm going to pretend that nothing ever happened in the past, then what took place in Deuteronomy chapter 22, it could be costly. It could be costly to the woman. And the father who loved his daughter, who was trying to save her reputation, perhaps nobody would know, it has to come out into the open. And so those things aren't talked about today. But I want you to know this, that when anyone asks me to perform a marriage ceremony, I sit down and I go through every requirement of the Word of God. And all of these things that I've told you about tonight, I tell them about tonight. And I say these things must be discussed between man and wife that are to be married, and they must be straightened out, and if there has been indiscretion on the part of either, and it's forgiven, and I will not hold it against you after we are married, that's all right.
But if a woman pretends to be something that she is not, and the man marries her, and then he finds out later on that she has been sinful in the past, then he may put that woman away. Now this, I wanted to tell you this. You'll find that what God says is the severest punishment, not once is on record as ever being carried out. Not one who is guilty of adultery is ever recorded in the Bible that I've read that had fulfilled what God said should be done. It shows what God thinks of the sin of adultery and fornication and what man thinks of it. You remember that. You say, well, that's what God thinks of it? Yes. But when God says it, it's like man who says, well, God says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And if a man's name is not found written in the book of life, he's cast into the lake of fire. But I don't believe that. No, many don't. But you'll find that at the judgment, all those who are not born again are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so sin is going to be dealt with the way that God says in his word. And so if a man chose, I say, if a man chose, God says, the extreme demand can be made and the man or the woman can be stoned. And so premarital sex, deceitful, passing off a woman as a virgin, stoning when it's discovered. And not only that, but the sacred bonds of marriage, if they were found guilty of adultery, it says they are to be stoned. But here's what it so sad. You'll find that you have recorded instances of fornication and adultery, but they were never stoned. You've heard of David and Bathsheba? Which one of them was stoned? You say, why? Why, neither one of them were stoned. Of course not. And in our King James Bibles, in John chapter 8, you find a woman taken in adultery. You say, yes, but it just shows you that the Lord was merciful. He didn't say for that woman to be stoned. You are wrong. They said, what should we do? The Lord said, let him that is without sin among you first cast a stone at her. What did he say? He said to cast a stone. Yes. But he's not going to have adulterers casting stones at adulteresses. And so they were guilty who were accusing this woman. Like that deceitful Judah in Genesis chapter 38. He was guilty of adultery, and then he was going to have his daughter-in-law burned with fire because of some sin that he thought she had committed. And so it shows the deceit and the lust and the sinfulness in the heart of man. But I told you this much tonight, and God willing, I'll show you more about it later. But just see the possibilities in your heart, and you pray to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you look upon sin, premarital sex and postmarital sex, as God does. And you keep that union holy. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive us for being your creatures, fallen, that have to be written to in such a base way. Our Father, we would like to think that these things are not so, but we read on every hand things like this that occur. And so, Father, we are forewarned, and therefore, let us see what we are capable of, and let us see also what is impossible for us by the power of the Spirit. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And so with that additional power of the Word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to thy word. We are thankful that we have thy word and thy spirit, and so let us be pure in heart and in body. And so let none of these things be named among us, but teach us from thy word, and let us see thy mind about things, and let thy mind be our mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.